Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Ballpark prices for you, sir. Let's go. Here you go. I get the privilege of announcing to you today that it is Spring Fling Super Party today. Are y'all ready for that? Huh? I hope so. Oh, what? Karen, you can you sing with Cracker Jacks? All right, you can do that. There you go, ma'am. Thank you for. All right, I'll collect later. We hope that you're ready today for the spring fling. We're setting up inflatables. We got hot dogs, of course, peanuts and Cracker Jack for everybody. So just come on out after second service today, 12:30 till 3 o'clock. Bring the kids. If you know somebody, just go ahead and give them a call. Say, hey, come on over. That's why I'm dressed like this, all right, to make this announcement. I also want to let you know that we've got a very special announcement to make. I want to introduce you to a lady who has gone through Foundations 1, Foundations 2. She is a Christ follower, and she has decided to become a member here at CCW and join us in the mission of making disciples. Her name is Sharon Livingston. Sharon, are you here? Sharon, are you here first service? Where you at, Sharon? Where you at? Raise your hand. Oh, there you are. All right. You know what you're getting, right? Here you are, sweetie. Sharon's had a lot of some health issues lately, but she is definitely looking to make friends and get connected. So if you're in a small group, go ahead and let her know who you are and get to know Sharon a little bit better today. Welcome to CCW. And speaking of Foundations 1, in just 2 weeks, April 22nd, you can sign up. This is our What We Believe Discovering Membership class. You can sign up for that online. There's information in the bulletins, all kinds of stuff like that. So go ahead and check it out. All right? Now, here's the thing about this really kind of goofy get up, all right? I actually began a second career as a vendor at the ballpark. Yeah, that was just a day or two ago. Back in college, you talk about the dream of a lifetime, being a baseball geek. I got to work down at Osceola County Stadium with the Houston Astros, in and out of the ballpark every day. And I actually got to meet and hang out with a lot of baseball players, and some even made the Baseball Hall of Fame, which kind of ties into our series here at CCW, this Faith Hall of Fame, or Hall of Faith from Hebrews chapter 11. That's what all this is about. If you're a visitor here with us, we're talking about these great heroes of the faith. Far more exciting than probably working out with baseball players and stuff like that. But those were really good times. We're going to go ahead and look at Hebrews chapter 11, so you can turn there. And just as kind of a review, here's what I'd like you to do. Did this a few weeks ago. I'd like with you to just go ahead and share with your neighbors, if you would, what faith is. What do you think faith is? What do you remember faith being? So you can do a little teaching time with your neighbor for about a minute. And maybe one thing that you have faith in. Okay, what is faith, and one thing you have faith in, and we'll go ahead and get started from there. Should I leave this shirt on? Am I going to blind y'all in the front row? Take it off. All right, if you promise to ask me about that stuff. All right, go ahead and talk for a minute, and then I'll jump back up here. There's a good chance your neighbor had a pretty good definition of faith, or maybe what that means to be able to trust in something or whatever. We've been talking about that for a number of weeks. So I want to take you back to the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, where we know that faith is confidence in what we hope for. We hope for it. We have confidence in it and assurance of what we do not see. Remember, we had the chair up here a little while back, and we've been talking about these heroes of the faith. And Hebrews 11 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So we have been celebrating a list of these ancients who were commended for their faith. I'm real excited this week to go ahead and share with you a little bit more about Abraham. Remember, if you were here last week, for Easter Sunday. You had an opportunity. If you didn't, I'm really sorry because you missed out. We got a chance to meet Abraham, all right? Now, Abraham's back this week. We're going to talk about him. He's actually the next one up in our lineup, but we have these ancient historical items from Abraham. He donated them to us, and he called us on the phone, and actually he called me. I've got a hotline to Abraham, and he said, look, if you're going to talk about me this week, I want you to include my wife, Sarah, because she was huge in my life, and she was a woman of faith as well. So we're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah today and how they obeyed God through faith. Abraham and Sarah obeyed. So you go ahead and turn to, especially look at verses 8 through 16. And as you're doing that, I want to go ahead and share with you just a little bit about the life of Abraham and Sarah. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Abraham is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. And his wife is right there with him all the time. His name actually means exalted father or father of the multitudes. He was originally called Abram until God renamed him to Abraham, and his wife Sarai was renamed Sarah, and her name means princess or chieftainess. They lived about 4,000 years ago. Abraham was the son of Terah. He had two brothers. One of them died, so he ended up raising his nephew Lot. Maybe you've heard of him. As he raised and as he worked with his family, he was known as a nomad, a traveler. He was a rancher, a very wealthy person. Abraham was a man of faith. And I really like sharing his life because if you look at Abraham's life, you see that he wasn't perfect at all. He made a lot of mistakes along the way. A lot of mistakes. He made some sinful decisions. He did some things you and I would question, but God led him and guided him all along the way. He was from the homeland of Ur. As he left Ur at the age 75, he began traveling around obeying the word of God. Lots of great stuff. You can read his story in Genesis 11 through 21. I want to encourage you to go back there this week and read through those 10 chapters of Genesis, and you'll see what I mean. But for today, I just want to focus on Hebrews 11, 8 through 16, and you'll see why the Bible calls him or says that he believed the Lord. He was justified by faith, and God credited it to Abraham as righteousness. He believed the Lord and credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham, Sarah, these people of faith, all kinds of stories we could share today. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. As we do that, we're going to find out this very, very important point, that having faith in the promises of God, all of us want the promises of God, having faith in the promises of God requires obedience to the word of God. Having faith in the promises of God requires obedience to the word of God, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it is unseeable, even when it is inconceivable. So let's jump right in. What do we mean by this word uncomfortable? Uncomfortable. Well, how many of you like to be comfortable? Come on, if you're not raising your hand, you're all right. Look, I like to be comfortable. I hope that I'll even pay extra for comfort if I'm given the opportunity. Wouldn't you? Don't judge me. All right? Not a single person in here, when the air conditioner in your car breaks, you start calling somebody. Or if your air goes out in your car, you're going to pay for comfort, right? All of you came in here today is like, oh man, the air's working. Thank God. You know, no, you expect it to work. You expect to be comfortable in certain circumstances. In fact, in life, a lot of times, not only do we pay for, I don't know, first class seating, or we'll pay for a little bit of extra attention, you know, or, you know, we'll kind of look forward to some comfort. Some of y'all dreaming about a cruise, you're dreaming about comfort. You run to comfort, you expect comfort. There's nothing wrong with that, except when it becomes more important than faith, and when it supersedes obedience. In that case, man, faith or comfort can become fatal to our faith, because faith it requires us to step out of our comfort zone a lot of times, and to take chances and to do things that comfort just doesn't have a time, has have a place for. Abraham and Sarah show us this. Look at verses 8 and verses 9 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, listen to this, he obeyed and went. He obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, there are some words of uncomfort in this right here in these just couple of verses. The word later, do you see it there? The word later. How many of y'all like the word later? I've got a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old in my house right now. My grandkids are here, and that's not the word they want to hear. They want to play now. They want to eat, you know, that there's candy now. In fact, if you're not watching them, they'll make sure they get it now, whether you're, you know, tell them later or not. You know what I'm talking? The only time later it kind of flips the tables is when God says to do something and we tell him later. And that could be dangerous. But later, man, that's an uncomfortable word because waiting is uncomfortable. No one wants to wait at a stoplight. You want to wait in the doctor's office. Waiting is uncomfortable. Later is uncomfortable. And look at these words. He did not know where he was going. The word I don't know or didn't know, those are uncomfortable words. In fact, most of us, if you don't know the answer to something, in 30 seconds you're going to be on your cell phone trying to find the answer to it because not knowing something is uncomfortable. You want to know stuff. Abraham didn't know where he was going. And these words, called to go. I love this. Man, listening to God with an ear to obey. Because most of us, we think we have God on call for us, for our comfort. And we're not listening to God's call on us to perhaps be uncomfortable. But Abraham, this was a way of life for him and his wife. Look at Genesis chapter 12, these first 5 verses. The Lord says to Abraham, check this out, see if this is comfortable or uncomfortable. Go from your country, your people, your father's household, just go, to the land that I will show you. Not I am showing you, but I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. There's the promises. But then he says, then it says, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. Went, he obeyed. Abraham was 75 years old when he collected Sarai and Lot and all of his belongings, and they just left. They just went as God told him to do. Now, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. By faith, verses 8 and 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger, more uncomfortable words. Like a stranger. How many of y'all moved more than like 10 times in your life? Anybody? All right, you've switched homes like Abraham has done. The average American moves over 30 times in their life. That's the truth. I've lived in 11 different houses. I've only lived in 5 different cities, but that's below average. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. In fact, last year, the statistics were down more than they've been in like 50 years, and only 10% of Americans actually moved. 10%. So if you have 10 people in your row, one of you probably moved here this year from somewhere else. Still, crazy. Moving's uncomfortable. How many of y'all like to move? Okay, therapy session for you, all right? Not only do we not like to move, but we don't want to get that phone call like, hey, I'm moving. Can you come help? You know, moving is uncomfortable, but I digress. Check out some of these other words here. Some of this other stuff. And he went to a foreign country, which, crazy. When you move, you're the new kid in town. If you ever been the new kid in town, the new kid in school, the new person, that's uncomfortable. And they lived in tents. Now, even tent campers don't want to live in tents. You want to come home to your house, right? How many of y'all tent campers, all right? My idea of tent camping is a hotel tent, all right? I like that a lot. But they literally lived in tents. That's uncomfortable. As did Isaac and Jacob, who we're going to meet in the next couple weeks. Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with Abraham of the promise. This promise. Now, here was the promise that they received. Sarah, at 90 years old, you're going to have a baby. That's comforting. Abraham, you're going to be a dad. We know you're 100, but you know, and not only that, but you're going to have so many kids. You know, I don't know if you think that's comfort, but faith. Listen, faith means obeying God's word. Obeying God's word even when it is uncomfortable. I'm reminded of the New Testament, Jesus training his disciples in Luke chapter 9, that as they go, they're not to take anything with them. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. They're to count the cost, lay down their life if necessary. Don't look back and be ready to be uncomfortable. Jesus knew all about that because our Savior, our Lord, led the way. He led by example. You know, last Sunday, we celebrated Easter. He is risen from the grave. Jesus lives by his Spirit in his place. We know that he lives. He rose from the dead. He is Lord. But do you remember, you know how Jesus got to the empty tomb to begin with? He left the comfort of heaven and came to earth. Jesus, Lord of all, right-hand of God, comes from heaven to earth. We spend our whole life waiting to get from earth to heaven. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. That's uncomfortable. And not only that, but Jesus came to earth where we know there's suffering and there's sin and there's death everywhere. We know that Jesus probably could have done anything and had any of the comforts of this world that he wanted to. He was a very popular teacher and traveler and healer. And not only that, but he had miraculous powers. Jesus could have had any of the creature comforts that he wanted here on earth. But yet, he lived his life on the way to a brutal death on the cross for you and I. You see, for Jesus, it wasn't about comfort at all. It was about obeying the will of God, even to the death. Having faith in the promises of God require obedience to the word of God, even when it's uncomfortable. So with Jesus, like Abraham, there was more to life than just seeking comfort and seeing the uncomfortable circumstances around them that they lived in. There was more than meets the eye. The unseen things, like the future, the promise that Abraham had, or the empty grave that Jesus knew he would experience. Having faith in God, not only when it's uncomfortable, it also requires obedience when it's unseeable. When it's unseeable. Look at verses 8 and verses 10. I love this. When called to go, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. He didn't have any idea. Now, where I come from, that's faith. Abraham, he obeyed God and he went. Now, catch this. He just went. He didn't have anything in his head. He just went when God told him. He trusting and obeying God. He didn't see where he was going. He didn't know what was coming up next. And Sarah, his wife, is riding shotgun with him the entire time. That is a faithful woman. I don't know how this goes over in your house. I don't know how this goes over, but with your travel plans, but I just kind of imagine this for a second. Hey, honey, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. Well, how long is it going to take? I don't know that either. Well, when are we coming back? I'm not sure we're coming back. What? Like, what do you mean we're not coming back? Well, what should I bring? Everything? Hold on a second. This is going to take a minute. Like, I got to process this. But can you imagine that? Now, even for short trips, I want to know where I'm going. I want to know what the weather's going to be like. I want to know what the traffic patterns are. I want to know what the gas prices are. I want to know how long it's going to take to get there and how to plan. Anybody else? Anybody else like that? Not Abraham. In fact, if I'm lost, if I don't know where I'm going, I am not having fun. And my shotgun rider, Lisa, my wife, chances are she's not having fun. And Lisa loves to have fun. And when I get to that point, it's not fun for anybody. My kids can tell you some stories about that. Abraham, however, had this kind of faith because his eyes weren't on seeable things. Hebrews chapter 1, he had that kind of confidence in what he was hoping for and assurance of what he didn't see, what he couldn't see. What was he looking for? Look at verse 10. He was looking for the city that has foundations, not tents, not ground, not dirt floor. He was looking for this other kind of city with foundations that whose architect was God, the builder was God. Abraham could not see this city with his eyes, but he knew what he was looking for, and better, he knew the God that he was following as he went and who made the promise. The city was made by God himself, so he trusted and he obeyed God's word. The fact is, you and I might not see with our own eyes, but we know what we're looking for, don't we? And we know the God who is making the promise. So we have to trust and we have to obey God's word, even when we're not sure why or what he's doing or where we're going. That's real faith. It's obeying God's word when we're not real sure who is going to be involved or what it might cost us or when we might get there. How is God going to accomplish this in my life? Some of us right here in this place are just wondering why we're going through the things that we're going through. Maybe it's health issues or spiritual issues, or and you're not real sure where you're going to be in a day or two or three or even five. Trust and obey. Faith is trusting and obeying God when we can't see the outcome. And what we can't see really can be scary. It can be. That's why it requires faith. Maybe you're making a spiritual choice in your life. Maybe it's becoming a Christ follower. Maybe all of this is new to you and you're just wondering what's going to happen next. Maybe it's to start coming to church or to leave old friendships, old relationships, old habits behind. Will you obey God? Will you step out? Maybe for some of us in here, it's stepping out and volunteering in a ministry. I mean, you may not be called to a land you don't know, but you may be, maybe God just wants to use you in the preschool. That's going to take some faith. You know, maybe helping out with the youth ministry, or maybe even today being able to serve or volunteer somewhere. Maybe it's to lead or to join a small group for the first time. I know that takes courage. It takes faith. Even as a church here at CCW, we can't see what's next. We're taking small steps of faith. But in faith, we are trusting and obeying God even when we can't see the outcome, because we know who we're following and we know who's in charge and we know who has built a city. That is God. And here's the thing. Anybody can look back and see the past. 2020 is hindsight, right? Anybody can look back and see the past. Faith is moving forward to the unseeable, trusting and obeying God and not looking back. That's why I love these verses in verse 13 through 16. Look at Hebrews 11, these next few verses. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, talking about all of these ancients, but especially Abraham and Sarah, if they had been thinking about the country they had left, then they would have had the opportunity to return. They could have just gave up and went home. But instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. An unseen one, this heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Encouraging words, man, especially, think about this, especially for the readers of the book of Hebrews. Remember, they were going through persecution. They were going through all kinds of troubled times, doubting, and they were thinking about turning back and going back to their old ways, going back to their own home and forgetting about Jesus and Christianity altogether. But faith calls us and called them to draw a line in the sand and not go back, not to return to the old country, never go back to the old life. We need to long for and live for a heavenly country, a better country, following Jesus towards the things that are eternal, not the things that we see. Do not look back. Look ahead to the unseen things. Look ahead to the new life, to the new adventures that God may have for you, waiting for you in Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 6 says that we've died to sin. You don't want to go back there again. You've died to sin. You've been baptized into Christ. You have come into contact with his blood and you have been raised up to live a new life in Christ. I love Romans 6. It's an amazing passage because it talks about a new life with a promise, being alive in Jesus. A promise, a vision, a hope, a longing. We have something else to live for. It's heaven. Heaven really, really matters. Today it matters. And it matters for eternity. Faith is trusting. Faith is obeying God when we can't see the outcome. When it's uncomfortable, when it's unseeable, and my favorite part, when it's inconceivable. Even when it's inconceivable. Now, I know I'm tracking right now with some Princess Bride fans, all right? You know what I'm talking about? All right. What? He didn't fall? Help me out. Inconceivable. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Okay, maybe not. I don't know, but it's a great movie. You ought to check it out. What it means is, inconceivable means like impossible to wrap your head around, to being imagined. It is unbelievable. And to take it a step further, it's a play on words. See, Sarah, Abraham's wife, was literally inconceivable. Help me out here. Work with me. Come on. She couldn't have kids. All right? She couldn't have kids. But God did the inconceivable and made Sarah conceivable. Look at verses 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him, God, she considered him faithful who had promised. You remember the story back in Genesis 17. Sarah laughed when she found out she was going to be having a baby. She was 90 years old. What was going to happen? She laughed to herself and thought, well, okay, thanks, God. Now, after I'm all worn out and my husband is old, now I'm going to have this pleasure? It's right there in Genesis 17. And the Lord says to Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In fact, I'm going to return a year later from now, and your wife, Sarah, is going to have a son. And Sarah did not believe this at first. That's why she, maybe she didn't want to believe this at first. But Hebrews 11 gives Sarah this shout out. I love this. The writer gives Sarah this shout out for her faith in a faithful God. By faith, she receives the promise. She receives God's blessing. She conceives her son Isaac. She raises the child. She stays close to her husband Abraham and her son Isaac. And they literally, their faith unites them as a family, husband, wife, and son, as they travel together. So if it's okay with y'all, if it's okay with you right now, I just want to take a second and I want to give a shout out to all of the women of faith in the room today. All right? If you are a woman of faith, you're a Christ follower, I just want to say thank you. In fact, Sarah reminds us to cheer for you who consider God faithful in your lives. If you're a woman of faith today, go ahead and raise your hand. You can stand if you want to. Let's hear for the girls today, man. Shout out to the Sarahs in the room. Following God means standing by your husbands, and you do that. You raise your kids. You care for your families. Maybe not at 90 years old, although some of you are probably wondering. But faithfully, we love you. We thank God for you. Let's just continue to encourage you. You inspire us. You lead by example. You serve and obey Jesus faithfully in ways that we men can only imagine, and we admire you for that. Speaking of the men, let's go back to Abraham. Look at verse 12. This is crazy. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands in the seashore. 100 years old and he's going to have kids. That is inconceivable. I love what the Message version says. It really lays it out there. And this is how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering in the millions. Inconceivable. Look, there was no power in either Abraham or Sarah to conceive. Only God could do this. Only he could do what was inconceivable. So I ask you, what God asked Abraham, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? You may think that it's inconceivable that God would love you, that God would save you, that God would use you, but it is conceivable. God, think again, man, God wants you to have new life in him. What is truly inconceivable to me is that God would send his one and only son, because he loves us so much, that he would send him to earth, that he would live a perfect life and die on the cross, that we who believe in him won't perish, but we will have eternal life with him in heaven forever. That's inconceivable. I want to embrace that with my life. Now, spiritually, you may be thinking, I'm too old. I'm spiritually dead. I'm shriveled up. Or, you know, look, you are never too old. You got to hear me. You are never too old, and you are never too young to be used by God. God has a plan for you, and he is ready to do the inconceivable with you. If you will commit to Jesus Christ and his mission in your life, be ready, because God will give you spiritual descendants more than you ever imagined, and it is never too late. It starts with obeying God, trusting in his promise, maybe for the very first time, and maybe all over again, putting your faith in Jesus and truly, truly, truly following him in obedience. Confess that he's Lord. It's not about comfort. Turn away from your life of comfort and follow Jesus as Lord, and don't turn back. Some of you here today need to be baptized into Christ for the very first time. You need to live a new life in him. Some of us, we need to come out of our comfort zones and get moving in a different direction, maybe in a supercharged direction like never before, truly living by faith, obeying his word. It truly does mean living the words of Jesus. We go back to the words of Jesus in our mission statement. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach, and big word, obey everything I've commanded you. And here's the promise. I am with you always to the very end of the age. Faith is doing what God says to do while trusting him to do what he can do. God's going to do his part. There's nothing too hard for him. God is going to do his part. here at CCW, we're committed to helping you to do your part. We're committed to help. We're going to do our part to train and to help and to grow and to minister to you. But it all comes down to the person sitting in your chair and mine to do our part. So have faith. Obey. Surrender your life to Jesus. Go and make disciples. Join a small group. Get into the Word of God on your own. Open the Bible and start to discover. Get a mentor if you need one. Start serving in a different place, maybe in a new place. See someone today. Spring Fling is a great chance, man, to meet somebody today, to get involved, to get connected. And we hope that you will. God did all that he could do in Jesus Christ so that you can do what he says to do. Trust him in faith. Obey God like Abraham, like Sarah, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's unseeable, even when it is inconceivable. We're going to close with a song. We're going to play it on the screens for you. And I just want you to make this your closing prayer today. If you have maybe a decision to make, maybe write something down in your sermon notes or in a notepad somewhere. Maybe somewhere God's calling you. Maybe a decision you need to make, a place you want to serve. Maybe God would tell you today. Maybe today you have some questions to ask about your faith, or you want to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time. Our prayer team's going to come up, and we'll be here to talk to you, to answer questions, and to pray with you if you'd like. Watch this song. Make it a prayer, and then we'll see you at Spring Fling. Here you go.